Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Been reflecting again on the gospel from yesterday, from the Sunday liturgy. I've been thinking more about that God calling them, come away with me for a while. I think there's a little something more than what I said for yesterday's readings that I just want to share with you, and it was an article I came across in Magnificat magazine. And in that magazine, Adrienne von Speer, who was a Swiss physician, she was a writer and just a holy woman. And she wrote this. She said, when the disciples come away with him to tell him how their time is gone, she said, how does the Lord react to their report? At first, he says nothing at all about it. He does not praise them. He does not scold them. He voices no opinion on the details. He considers their return to be the end of a working period. And then he says, come away by yourselves to a lonely place. It is as if he is choosing them again, taking them to himself, at first not to send them into a visible mission, but rather to have them with him in a quiet place. These days, with all our rushing around to be with God, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Sometimes it's just wonderful to be with someone. Don't have to talk. Just be with them. Take a walk together. Sit together. Listen to good music together. Watch a movie together. You just share the goodness of life. We all need that. And Jesus knew that the disciples needed that because now they were going out and it was busy. And Adrienne von Speer says they are to take a vacation together, but a vacation in discipleship. Come with me, he says. It is a new follow me. As he said this to each one of them, to Peter several times. And he says it now before the time of rest. They are to be with him in solitude and learn to follow the Lord in rest. Just as we follow the Lord in activity, we need to follow the Lord in rest. This is something new, she writes, which apparently has nothing to do with their mission until now, and yet which is to give them the strength to begin again. Like all believers, the apostles constantly face what is new, other tasks, being sent out into the world, but each time with a planned return. This time, the new thing is to spend this time of rest, which the Lord has commanded, a time of rest in simply being his disciples, being with him. Do you give God time? Are you with him in rest as you are in activity? Make sure you have those times of prayer and times of quiet. Listen. Rest with him. He will give you far more than you think when you go out to serve. The book of Exodus today, chapter 14, verses 5 to 18. When it was reported to the king of Egypt that the people had fled, now they had fled, they had left, they had endured all of these afflictions, all of these storms and difficulties and plagues that came upon them. When it was reported to the king of Egypt that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his servants changed their minds. Remember, Pharaoh said, go. He let them go. He was tired of all that he was having to deal with, including the death of his own son. Sometimes we just refuse to give in to the Lord. So Pharaoh tells them to go, but then he has second thoughts. They change their minds about them. They exclaim, what have we done? Why have we released Israel from our service? In other words, here were all the people who did the work for us, and we're telling them to go. So Pharaoh made his chariots ready and mustered his soldiers, 600 first-class chariots, all the other chariots of Egypt with warriors on them all. So obstinate had the Lord made Pharaoh that he pursued the children of Israel even while they were marching away in triumph. They had just been released from slavery, from bondage. They are marching now triumphant, and he sends his armies out after them. The Egyptians then pursued them. Pharaoh's whole army, his horses, chariots, and charioteers, caught up with them as they lay encamped by the sea at Pet-Hareoth in front of Baal-Zephon. Pharaoh was already near when the children of Israel looked up and saw that the Egyptians were on the march in pursuit of them. In great fright, here they are. They have a moment of triumph. Moses is their leader, and he's leading them out of bondage, and they're triumphing. And then, isn't this true? In great fright, when they saw that the Egyptians were in pursuit of them, they cried out and they complained. Were there no burial places in Egypt that you had to bring us out here to die in this desert? Why did you do this to us? Why did you bring us out of Egypt? Did we not tell you that this in Egypt when we said, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? Far better for us to be the slaves of the Egyptians than to die in the desert. I have to laugh. It's a serious situation, but I have to laugh because this is how we are. Oh, yes, I'll follow you wherever you go. And then God goes somewhere we don't expect, and we voice that. I didn't expect this. I didn't sign up for this. I don't want this. How many times do we do exactly what they did? This was a huge number of people. But still, it's the same problem. We can stop the will of God when we don't trust him and when we don't trust the leadership he gives us. Moses answered the people, fear not, stand your ground, and you will see the victory the Lord will win for you today. It must have been very hard on Moses. He hadn't seen it yet, but he had come to a place where he could trust God and trust what God had told him. These Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again. The Lord himself will fight for you. You have only to keep still. And then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? See, Moses must have turned from the people and went, Lord, where are you? Lord, help us. And the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. And you, lift up your staff, and with hand outstretched over the sea, split the sea in two, that the children of Israel may pass through it on dry land. How would you have felt if you were Moses? I'd been afraid. But I will make the Egyptians so obstinate that they will go in after them. And then I will receive glory through Pharaoh and all his army, his chariots and charioteers. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I receive glory through Pharaoh and his chariots and charioteers. Moses obeys. Moses doesn't see how this is going to be carried out. But he put his trust in the Lord and he obeys, even though it seems humanly impossible. Then we have the wonderful passage from Exodus chapter 15, which is the responsorial psalm. It's the song that the people began to sing when they were rescued by God from this particular situation. And then the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 to 42. Some of the scribes and Pharisees said to Jesus, teacher, we wish to see a sign from you. In other words, we want more proof. Well, come on, show us something else. And God isn't going to respond exactly to that kind of invitation. He said to them in reply, an evil and unfaithful generation seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And there is something greater than Jonah here. People repented at the preaching of Jonah. This is even greater. We should repent for our disbelief. At the judgment, the queen of the south will arise with this generation and condemn it, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And there is something greater than Solomon here. It is Christ himself. The Savior is here. The Savior is in their midst, and they do not recognize him. So the judgment will be more severe for you because you did not put faith in God's words. You did not put your faith in God's promises. Brothers and sisters, same thing could be said of us. That's why I've been saying so much last week and this week, saying so much, please, please, ask God to help you grow in faith, that you may stand firm, that you may have discernment, so that you may know who to follow and whose voice to listen to. You can hear a myriad number of voices around you. Who do I listen to? What do I believe? Brothers and sisters, make sure what you listen to is based on the Word of God. Make sure it's principles. It doesn't have to be the words of Scripture, but make sure its principles and its goals and the fruit that it bears is based on the Word of God. That's your testing ground. And how can you know that unless you read the Word, unless you ponder the Word, unless you study the Word? There are many voices in our world today. In our society today, in this 21st century, there are many voices clamoring to be heard. Go this way, go that way, do this, do that, follow this person, follow that person. Over and over and over again. And we need to hear the truth. And if you allow the Word of God to shape your life, you will be able to hear and discern and sift the truth from the lies. God wants to make us wise. He wants to give us that gift, but we have to be willing once again to say he is the source of wisdom, not me, not my own judgments. My judgments are so limited. I'm bound, in a sense, by my humanity. I can't see everything, even though I'd like to think I do. I can't. And so I need to depend on God, who is the truth. Who is the truth? Always look for the truth. No matter how hard it might be, look for the truth. And if you look for the truth, you will find it in Christ and you will be led rightly. Look for the people who follow the gospel, who follow Christ, who are willing to die to self, because it will lead you to life, not only for you, but for all those you love. So brothers and sisters, this is a time where I think it's just very important to learn from the Old Testament, to certainly learn from the Gospels, but to learn how humanity, even over all these years, humanity hasn't changed. We're narrow and we're limited. And we need to be in as deep union as we can with the one who is infinite, all-seeing, all-knowing, the source of truth itself. And the closer we draw to him, the better we're able then to decipher what's going on in the world and to see what's really at the root of many things that people are proposing. Brothers and sisters, God loves you very much. And there are people who can lead you to the truth. I pray for you. I pray a lot for you, that you may hear the truth and the truth may set you free, that you may love him more than you have ever loved him, and you might follow him. He will lead. May God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled The Final Confrontation by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.